Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, guide and direct our thoughts, our will, and emotions as it fits with your plan and purpose for our life. May our feet also be guided to do your plan and purpose for our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. These days, there are many spirit-filled people. And let us be spirit-filled, and may we each have godly understanding that draws us close to you, Heavenly Father. Lord, help us in our spiritual battle and give us godly discernment to make wise and godly choices in life, both the big choices and the small choices. Perhaps it is what we think about that can take us towards you or away from you. And those little things, little thoughts, and even the music we listen to can bring us closer or take us further from you. So let us see clearly to make choices that are pleasing to you and good for our eternity. Sometimes our thoughts are where the battle is taking place, because our thought life determines additional thought life, and that is a spiritual battle. And that's why I like the scripture, 1 Peter 1:16, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Yes, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." I kind of think we will be holy in heaven, and so let us prepare our hearts and our minds for heaven with holiness. And it might not be so easy these days as we are surrounded with everything in the world, just the busyness and the temptations here and there. I remember how Solomon in the Bible tells us there is nothing new under the sun. So we know that there has always been every sort of temptation. I think of Job 31:1, where Job promised or covenanted with his eyes to not look upon a maiden. You know, in that certain way. And that passage also applies to women looking at young men. But there are things in the world that we just get to deal with, and we want to stay pure and holy. And it really applies to all of us. We all can do better to have our thoughts be pure and clean and holy. So there are temptations all around us, and that is a part of the spiritual battle that we are in. And we must take great care, because one step leads us to another. And again, that is either toward God or away from God. So that's just the progression of how it works, toward God or away from God. And if you look at or listen to testimonies, you will see how sin has progressed in people's lives. Oh, it doesn't start out with the awful things. It starts out with a small step. No one starts out sacrificing babies. No, it's the little steps, the little teeny steps that bring a person closer and closer to a level of sin. So again, look at the testimonies of people. There are testimonies who talk about their journey. Again, it's either towards God or away from God. So be careful each and every day with your heart and your mind, your thoughts, that they stay clean and pure in our Lord's eyes. Because the world is full of impurities and temptations. So look at what is going on around us today. Oh, even today, think of all the skulls on cars, in people's houses. Look at the gore that is around. It is just in so many places. I see images of skeletons and really unpleasant things here and there. You know, there's nothing nice about a skeleton, really. Just think about it. The images of death are ugly, and hell is ugly, too. So we want to think about nice images, and that's what our hope and desire is to have things that are good and godly with Jesus Christ. So let's always look upon God, Jesus, in our afterlife, and have these things in our heart and in our mind. There are so many wonders in heaven. You know, there's that scripture about eye has not seen and ear has not heard. That's 1 Corinthians 2:9. It is about those wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. See, isn't it much better to have these wonderful images in your mind and in your brain about the afterlife than an image of dusty cobwebs and skeletons? Oh, yes, it is. So remember how good God is. Remember how much he loves you, and how we want to love him back. I am grateful for so much that he has given me, aren't we all, when we think about the goodness of God? Yes, we are grateful. And we want to give God thanks all the time. Give God thanks. And we know that our life on the earth is not always perfect, and there is plenty that we would like to change and improve on. And each one of us can do a little bit toward that with our eyes to read the Bible, because the Bible gives us hope, and it gives us understanding about what is coming our way. And I don't know about you, but it looks pretty clear to me. In the last few months, I have been surprised by the number of people. And that means believers and non-believers both, who have the sense that something big is coming our way. And they say, I just feel it. That's what their reasoning is, pretty much. And then there are believers who are saying, Jesus is coming back soon. Well, that's just what we want, really. But the point is, there are people who have a sense that something big is coming along. And what does it mean? I think it means to get ready spiritually to meet God Jesus. And so I think of the stories in the Bible. I think of, for instance, the story of the parable of the 10 virgins, and how 5 of them were ready and 5 of them were not ready for the wedding feast. 5 of them had oil for their lamps, and 5 of them had to go to buy oil for their lamps. And the 5 who did not have oil, who were not prepared, they were not allowed into the wedding feast. They were shut out. And, oh, I just think about what does that mean for us? If we're not ready, are we going to be shut out? There's another wedding feast, just 3 chapters before that, and that is where people are called out to the wedding feast, but they were too busy to come. And, you know, we have a choice. Are we going to be all busy with life and not have any time for the Lord our God? Is that what's going to happen to us? Or are we going to have some time, even if it's a tenth of our time? We need to have some time for our God. We need to pay attention to what's going on around us spiritually. And we have choices. All these choices in the parables are the same as the ones we have today. What are we going to choose? Do we choose Jesus, or do we choose outer darkness? And that really is the choice. I know we can call it heaven or hell. It's right along the same lines. So we understand that there will be a choice, and we make it every day by how we live. And so let us be ready. Let us be prepared to live a life for Jesus. And I think of preparation like for Joseph. In ancient Egypt, he had to prepare himself for that 7-year famine. He prepared by gathering wheat, corn, and grains in the land of Egypt. And so he prepared for the 7 years of famine. There are people today who expect that biblical example of Joseph in ancient Egypt to repeat. They are expecting a 7-year famine. And of course, there's others who expect to be raptured out of here before any of that happens, before any trouble or discomfort comes to them. We just kind of don't know. But we know that there are things that happen in the world, and preparation is always a good thing in my point of view. Of course, you have some people who talk about Matthew 6:25, where it says, "Don't worry, God gives food to the birds and clothes to the lilies, and therefore we are not to worry." Well, all right, I think that's fine. Do not worry. But I think it's also good to think and to have some thought about what would happen in the normal course of life. Not that ancient famine of Egypt, even though that could happen again. It's just things that happen in life, and preparedness can be such a blessing. But maybe you do look at that 7-year famine. Maybe that is something that will happen again. You know, a couple of minutes ago, I just talked about the rapture. That is a question that people have some pretty definite views on. I hope that you don't let any question like that, like if the rapture is going to happen pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, I hope you don't let that take away from your Christian fellowship, because that is not the important question. The important question is that we follow Christ. And the rapture, well, that is a question that has only been in our mind for about 200 years. Before that, it was just plain a known fact that believers would go through the 7-year tribulation. But 200 years ago, that changed, and it was a widely discussed theory at that time and since. So, will the rapture happen? Well, we're pretty sure that it will before the wrath of God is poured out on the earth. But there's not a clear answer in Scripture for the exact timing of it. So don't let it be too concerning to you, and certainly don't let it divide your fellowship with other Christians. It does seem that we in these last days are going to experience a lot of trouble, and we can look at the Bible examples of that. Because not only have people always had problems in the Bible and in life, but we're told about some greater troubles in Matthew chapter 24. And Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21, they all tell us about wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famine, and pestilence, which is the widespread contagious disease, and more besides that. So to me, I feel justified in calling on people, reminding them to get a few extra things, like water and food, or a water filter. I just see those things in the world anyway. We have troubles. We have things that happen. In my travels and in my reading, I have seen example after example of the suffering which people have gone through. Oh, and impure water is often enough a source of great difficulty, where people get bugs inside, all sorts of things inside their body that live there, and it makes them weak or sick. So impure water is a problem, yes. It's mostly in other parts of the world, but now in the United States, we are getting it too, even in our streams and springs. It just comes out, becomes impure with Giardia or Cryptosporidia or something. So the water is an issue, and that's why I put water is first on my list and suggest a good big passive water filter. And then what else? Today we are all able to get extra food and have some on hand. The quantity and the quality of that food is always up to you, because it makes a difference for what everything costs. That's a personal decision, and you get to figure that out for what you can afford and what you are willing to do. So, I remember looking 30 years ago, there was a military man who told me that to control people, you control the food. And then food is, in effect, a weapon. So maybe you can pray and fast about that answer, about what you ought to do, how much food you ought to have on hand, and your water filter. I sure don't know the answer to that. But some people feel like 7 weeks is sufficient. And I remember the 7 weeks is about what the first emergency responders that I talked to after Hurricane Katrina, what they said. Everybody should have at least that on hand. And there's a few people who say 7 months of food, and a fewer yet who say 7 years. Oh boy, I don't know. I think if we did have a famine like that, we would have to learn to be farmers, every one of us. But I think whatever it is, we do want to have some food and a water filter. I like whole grains the best because to me they store. They store for a long, 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 long time. And they are within my budget. So with the whole grains, though, you will also need a manual wheat grinder and then whatever ingredients you would use to make bread. Or a hot cereal, for instance. But for the bread, you just have to remember a few things. Sugar, salt, and oil. I also like vitamins, and I like a big cast iron pot and a propane stove. Those are the things that I think of. They're pretty simple, they're pretty basic, and everybody has their own idea. And again, I do like that manual wheat grinder, and the electrical one is, well, they're great. It's just that if we do have a big problem, for instance, with our grid going down or who knows what, it's the manual wheat grinder you'll need, not the electric one. So a flashlight is good. Oh, and don't forget plywood, because often enough in a natural disaster, like an earthquake or a hurricane or something, the windows are broken out. And so you cover them with plywood. And it's always good to have just a little bit of plywood on hand so that you can do something like cover your broken windows and still live in your home and not have the wind and the rain coming in. The only real answer to these kind of questions is for you to search out what you would like to do and to prepare in a way that you are comfortable with. It's all a question of what you view is happening, and it's also a question of what you are willing to compromise on also, because you'll never be able to get all the things you want, but you can get some. And that's what I think we all ought to think about. What are those most important items? And what are the consequences of having them, or not having them, I should say? And many people are also saying that there will be a financial crisis coming soon in our country. Worse than the Great Depression of the 1930s. Again, I think the only real answer is for you to investigate that question yourself. There's lots of things that we can look at as important. So some will be important for you and some will not be important for you. The only thing is for you personally to look at it, give it a little time, And don't live in that question, but do give it some thought. I know there's a increasing number of people who see that we are going to have a financial problem because of all the borrowing that's going on in our country. And lots of people are saying that they see a problem. But just what will it be? That we don't know. We really don't. But there are people with ideas. I do listen to lots of regular people, and I think about what they say. And I even listen to people who are not regular, but not so much. Really not so much at all. Yeah, for instance, I think probably three times a year I listen to this the Coast radio program that I really don't like, but there are sometimes people on it who are interesting, and I think I've heard it three times in the last 18 months or something. And there was Nick Begich who was on, and Benjamin Baruch, and both of those are strong Christian people. But for some reason, I turned it on a few nights ago, and I heard the retired military guy, who is not a Christian, but we can still get information from people who are not Christian, I think. And it's interesting, the perspective that he has on what we are going to be seeing. Yeah. He is very concerned about a new corona COVID virus, and says that there will be something in there about our gene splicing right into that vaccine. Now, if that happens, that would permanently change all of our future generations of human beings. So, interesting. He said there would be a marker in the vaccine so that under an infrared light you could tell who was and who was not vaccinated. That vaccine marker would allow you to be allowed into or not allowed into a public place. And of course, that means you either could or could not buy in a normal way. So, I just thought it was interesting. Oh, another thing he said was that there would be something in that vaccine that would cause people to be sterile and not reproduce. And I thought about that. It made me think of the United Nations World Health Organization, who has distributed tetanus vaccines in the past decades, and it had a human cell in it, and that caused the woman's body to sense that the woman was pregnant, and therefore the fallopian tubes would stop dropping eggs, and that meant that the woman was not fertile because she was not dropping those eggs. Reproduction stopped, and that was taken to the High Court in the Philippines, and they discovered that there was a case against the UNWHO. That was about 1994. So these things have happened in the past. Would it happen again? Wow, we don't know, but I was kind of surprised by what he said. And what it means is a big question. How do we ever discover the truth anyway? Usually, we discover the truth by looking back. It's very seldom that we have the great suspicions enough to look into the future and understand what the secret plans are that we don't know about. But there are secret plans. And there are secret groups with secret goals. And that's just a part of what we can look at as things that happen. It happens because there are both plans and there are mistakes that happen with our technology and with our medicine. I think about the shutdowns that we've been having, and they started out as only going to be for a few weeks, and then they turned out to be going on for a few months. And there are people who say that the shutdown to the virus will last for a couple of years. Well, we have a situation in front of us that we just don't know where it will end up. And there's a lot of question about where it will lead. Did we just let something dangerous into our society that we can't control because we have allowed the emergency measures? I don't know, but I sure do wonder about it. Will our freedom be restricted? Will businesses fail? Will we be so scared of catching this influenza bug that we do shut everything down? I don't know, but I wonder. And we do have to remember that 99% or more of the people who get this corona COVID virus, they do recover. They do recover. So we can only guess how serious it is, and will there be another form of the virus coming around? Well, questions, but also question, what are we going to do? Are we going to stay in our homes forever? Oh, I don't know. If, you know, we could still be told to stay in our home for weeks at a time. And if we ever are we going to have enough food to last? Or will they let us go to the grocery store and buy food? Oh, well, there's nothing wrong with having a little food extra or a lot of food. It's just a question that we really don't have the answer to. And is a part of that question involving the mark that we would need to buy or sell? Questions. I wish I knew. But I know that we as Christians will not take that mark. There are people who say that there is something that predisposes us to have affinity with that mark that is already hidden in the vaccines. Look, I question these things. It's not that I believe them, but I am kind of surprised when we look back in history and we hear about the top secret programs that nobody knows about for 20 years. So we do know that there are things that go on that we don't know about. And we also know about mistakes that happen. I think about 50, 60 years ago, there was that thalidomide that was given to pregnant women to combat nausea. And what happened? That thalidomide caused babies to be born without either hands or legs, and sometimes both. I know a woman with no legs because of thalidomide. So these things are real. Mistakes do happen. And sometimes you just kind of wonder what is done by mistake and what isn't. No answer. I don't mean I know the answer, and I don't mean to say it is or is not a mistake. It's just that these things do happen, and we have to be cautious and careful about all these things, including what are we going to do when the mark does come along? What are we going to do if we cannot buy or sell? Well, I happen to think that it would be so much easier to resist the mark if you had a little pre-planning. Because when you're hungry, it is not the time to make a quick decision about taking that mark or not. Well, so think about these things in advance. And that fella on that other radio broadcast was saying that he expects things to advance in 10 to 15 months. Well, I just wonder about all of it. Things can be true and things cannot be true. I don't know. And it seems like if it were to be in 10 or 15 months that a vaccine came out that had some ingredient in it that we did not want, what would we do? What would we do? Is that something that would happen suddenly? Sure. But nothing happens suddenly until it does. Well, kind of true. Kind of true. And anyway, I think the main point for all of us is to just look at what would we do if? What if there was that mark of the beast coming about? How would we deal with it? What would our plan of action be? I know that there are people who say, well, we're going to just get arms, and that's the answer. Please, I really don't think it is. Maybe it is important if there is an invading army, but what are you going to do? Are you going to use your arms against that grandmother who comes around and works for that government and says, please accept this census card to get your free food? Or what good are they against the armed grocery store guards? And that is the case in some countries. There are armed grocery store guards. And what good is it against your neighbor who has food and you don't? Really? Are you really going to be that way? No, you better think this out and don't do something stupid. Remember the beans and rice. That is important. I think it's more important than bullets and rifles. But some people, well, have a different idea. And don't forget your water filter for all your preparation needs. Now, remember, 10 months ago, we would not have thought that we would be in the system where we are today, where masks are required. That was a change that happened about 10 months ago. So what about in another 10 months? Could we see another mass change? Yes, of course. Things can change very fast in a society when we are fearful. So think in advance and don't do something stupid. Just think in advance and have some ideas and have some preparedness. I don't think we would have thought the things that are going on today would have been true a year ago, 10 months ago. We just wouldn't have seen it. But now all over the world we see protests. By the thousands, people are protesting because they want their freedom back. They don't want to be on lockdown. Protests are happening in many parts of the world. There are a couple of cities in Italy that are having protests. And now in Poland, there are thousands of people protesting against the lockdowns. Even in Iraq, in Baghdad, there are people protesting their government because they want freedom. So things can change, and it helps to be a little prepared. And yes, we can see the trends. I hope you can see the trends. Are we going to go in the direction of freedom or fascism. I don't know, but I think of the Founding Fathers and Benjamin Franklin, who said those who would give up essential liberty to gain temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. So, people valued freedom in those days, those olden days. They certainly did. And people value freedom today. And someday we might have to make a choice about what we are willing to live with as free people. You know, these days, governors in many states have told us just exactly what to do, like to shut down businesses. And shutting down businesses means there are a lot of people without an income. And so many small businesses have shut their doors permanently. What are we going to do if there are no businesses left? No small businesses left to compete? You know, if there are only businesses left that are a big business and a monopoly, they can charge whatever price they want for whatever they have. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to buy it, because that's what happens without competition. The big conglomerates can charge whatever they want, and we will have to pay it, because that is the only source for what we want. So let's be careful. Let's make sure that we understand the long-term effects of the things that are going on today. We are headed to a system where our government tells us what to do, and we do it. I think that it would be good for our theologian friends to have a big discussion on Romans 13 and obeying the government. Obeying the government, you know, right in there, Romans 13:3, it says that they will support good works. And I think that's a part of the Romans 13 chapter, that God is going to do, is going to have ministers to do good. So what if they're not doing good? I think that's a discussion we must also have. Well, I do have concern about our church, all churches being restricted. And to me, that is the big question that we face, with churches restricted on where we can meet, inside or 5 feet apart, 6 feet apart. Where we can no longer sing praise and worship to our Lord. I think this, or maybe we can if it's very quiet, but the point is we have a new set of rules and regulations coming about. Do you wonder what God would say about it? Well, I think about those Hebrew children in ancient Egypt. And a part of God's demand, which Moses made to Pharaoh, was to let God's people go to praise and worship God. So where does that leave us today, with so many churches that have been shut down? Well, maybe somebody has a biblical response to this question. I think that there's some obvious questions and some obvious answers, and there's things that we just don't understand. I would like to have that discussion, because I wonder about it. We have to be very careful who we follow, what understanding we have, and what we do. You have probably heard about these dictates by now, because like 2 weeks ago they were published. Oh, dictates. Dictates, I think, are done by dictators. Have you heard that little joke? I don't know. Oh, that's just my sense of humor. But 2 weeks ago, on September 12th, 2020, Governor Gavin Newsom of the state of California, with the Health and Human Services, released a mandatory guideline for our holiday season. Let's see. And it applies to all private gatherings, that gatherings may not be more than 3 households. And gatherings cannot last for over 2 hours. And food must be served in single-serve disposable dishware. Gatherings must be held outside. Inside bathroom use is allowed only if the bathroom is frequently sanitized. Singing is discouraged, and if there is singing, you must wear a mask, and your voice must be no louder than a speaking voice. Masks must be worn at all times unless you are eating. Seating must be socially distanced, and that means at least 6 feet apart. The host must have a log of all those in attendance, which includes your name and phone number of those attending. And there's one more about not having more than one holiday party in the same park at the same time. There's a few more details about this, like what shade coverings are allowed and what if anybody develops the corona COVID symptoms afterwards. There's something about hand washing and sanitizing, and something about musical instruments. Well, that's what is decreed for us in California. And all this just reminds me of that saying, if you give him an inch, he will think he's a ruler. That's my little sense of humor there. Okay. But we do want to seriously look at our freedoms. And we do want to protect the freedoms that we have. We do have a Bill of Rights, and there's a question of if those are being allowed or stepped on, squashed. It's a question, and you get to figure out what an emergency will allow the authorities to do. Do you agree with what's going on now? Do you agree with the after effects of what is going on, the restrictions that are made? Somehow we have to get our concepts clear about what we will allow or what our founding documents will allow. You know, we are the sovereign because all through our founding, there was the cry that there is no king but Jesus. And in effect, we, the people, are the sovereign. That is listed over and over again. We, the people. And so our voice is heard through our vote and through our representatives in government. And so I say, fellow countrymen, we have a republic to preserve. It has a democratic form of electoral process. So, yes, there can be problems. We know that. We know that there can be corruption. There has been corruption. But we do have a good form. We just need it to be faithfully followed. I know that sometime we wish it could be better, but we need some pretty good minds to help us with that question about what we can do to improve the system, keep it in line. Maybe there's a Judge Perrine or some judge that can help us with that. There's some good minds out there, and they can help with these questions. And I do think about the YouTube broadcasts that I listen to. There's some pretty good arguments that are made by a person or a group. Or I know there's one I listen to that is tells about the characteristics of people when they are truth-telling and when they are lying. And that channel is the Body Language Ghost. And I think that we can all use some discernment to try to understand what is being told to us and what we ought to do. We need discernment. We need prayer to get that discernment. And so I hope that you are searching out the different events around us in the world and in our country to see what that means for us. And there is a great range of things that are going on. Protests are going on. Now, I don't mean riots. I mean protests. Protests where thousands of people are protesting. Yes, like I said, Italy, Poland, Iraq, all over, there are protests. And people are concerned with their freedom and that the businesses are closing. Closing for good in many cases. Where are we going to have income from? Well, we have a job. But there's so many people who are seeing poverty in our future. And right now you look around and you see the empty streets, the empty stores, emptiness everywhere. And why? It is because the government is shutting down so many businesses. Jobs are not happening, and our future is looking pretty serious. Sure, scary. Scary. We're getting scared. We are. You know, there was that, I think about 2 weeks ago, that in baseball, the eighth inning, there was a player taken off the field because his test showed that he had COVID. That was an attention getter. And then it turned out that he did not have COVID by a later test. So we have things going on. We have just the regular things like earthquakes. They're going on. And government restrictions are going on. And who is to say they might be connected? But we see all sorts of things going on that are really unhealthy in our life. I think there's people who wonder about the Pope's call for the Catholic Church to support same-sex unions. That was just 3 days ago. And like he said, who is he to judge? And that's true. He is not the judge. But I hope he would say that the Bible tells us about homosexual unions. And God calls it a sin, a sexual sin. There's many sexual sins. We don't have to point out that one, but it's an example of how things are changing in our society, in our world, in our spiritual world. All these things are looking like changes, and we have to be sure that we are following Christ and that we are speaking the truth in love. That's what we are reminded to do, and to not be fearful. Don't be fearful. God tells us all about these different things and what to do, how to live, and we do want to do our very best to live according to what God tells us. I think we can have prayer for our nation. Certainly we can. A lot of things are going on in our nation, and we can pray for God, Jesus, to heal our divided land. We can pray against the murder of the innocent and the preborn. It's murder, and the blood and the darkness on this land is increasing as the sin increases. It's going to be really serious in our consequences. So we have to pray for the wickedness to depart from this land. And a part of that is not having death and spiritually dark forces in our mind and in our decorations around. We have to look to the light, of Jesus Christ. He is the light, the way, the truth, and the light. And no man comes to God but by him. We want this true light on our land. And a part of that is in, well, being holy, really. Supporting that which upholds the ways of God. And I urge you to do that. And we want to delay judgment on our nation. Wouldn't it be nice to have another generation before judgment comes? Yes, wouldn't it be nice to have another 4 or 10 years where we are a righteous, godly nation, living with freedom and prosperity? Yes, we want to have our land in a wonderful, free way. So make this a matter of prayer. Many people are praying. Many people are fasting on behalf of our nation, and maybe you will be too. Don't get lost in the darkness. Don't get lost in the evil of this day. Instead, stand for Christ. Stand for the goodness of God in all that we do. And if you are thinking about preparedness, by all means, send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I will send you back my free preparedness brochure to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And for this very day, please be guided by the Holy Spirit and by no other spirit. Be holy. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Oh, and do remember to set your clocks back an hour for your Sunday morning. God be with you. Shine your light, shine your light.